his arm, their touch gentle, reassuring. Then Diliseth took a hold of his other arm. "There, see? I'm right here. Now just listen to my voice, okay?" Alexander fought through the panic, the almost violent need to break through whatever barrier was blinding him to find the light. But thanks to her presence, he was able to find calm, if just a bit. "Okay, the suit is just cycling through its boot-up sequence." His hands jerked to his helmet to wrench it off, but Diliseth held him back. "Why can't I see?" "The helmet's visor is designed to read not just the ambient light, but also your eyes. You need to calm down, blink, and stare straight ahead. Let the suit do its job. Try it now," Diliseth instructed. Unable to fall back on any of his usual calming techniques, Alexander simply did as she asked. He took a deep breath, blinked, and stilled his eyes. The helmet vibrated, and a heartbeat later, the visor faded to transparent once again. "Heh heh," Ben laughed. "There he is. Welcome back from the abyss." Alexander frowned. "Not funny." "No, that was funny, especially the way you flailed about in that suit," Ben said, pointing at his sides. Alexander looked down where an extra set of floppy sleeves hung loose. It was true. Their suits were all designed for someone, no, something else. Taller, heavier, and with more appendages than any of them possessed. And yet they were all Shaggoth could spare. Ben looked particularly hilarious in his suit, as they had to gather up the excess material in the middle and tie it off to the side. In a way, the Burundi looked like a child playing in his father's suit. Without warning, the outer airlock door started to spin. Like an iris, the circular hatch dilated until Alexander, Ben, and Diliseth were left standing before the yawning void of space. His brain couldn't immediately fathom its scale, the black starscape, and its uncountable pinpricks of light. But as Alexander followed Ben toward the opening, it became all too real. "All right, it's important that we stay tethered together. We can't afford for one of us to end up tumbling out into the black. That'll leave you with a whole lot of time to think about your life choices as you wait to suffocate or freeze to death." The Burundi turned and met both Alexander and Diliseth's eyes. "Got it?" "Suffocate," Alexander muttered. Diliseth nodded, adding, "Freeze to death." "Good," Ban said. "I'm glad you two picked up the important parts." Alexander looked sideways at his Nascendo counterpart, only to find Diliseth's eyes locked on the starscape beyond the airlock. Her pupils were blown wide without even a hint of crimson visible. She was terrified. "I've flown across the galaxy a dozen times, but have never seen space like this," she whispered. Alexander reached down and squeezed her hand. There was comfort, knowing that they'd be experiencing this for the first time together. "We've got this. You aren't alone." "Together," she agreed. Ban secured the first claw-like tether to Diliseth's suit, then the second to Alexander, before latching both to himself. He checked the connection three more times, then confirmed their suit seals were intact. Last but not least, they made sure their heater and breather units were working properly. "Ah, exciting. We are ready. Now, remember, the more you breathe, the faster you'll burn through your air supply. So I know this is going to sound way easier than it really is, but stay calm. Don't flail about like a sober Arbosian. And lastly, I'm in charge. What I say goes. So if I give a directive, it's for a damned good reason. We clear?" "Crystal," Alexander said. "Good." They moved up to the exterior hatch, and without further delay, Bantaro pushed out and into the black. Alexander watched the excess tether unspool, and then, with a surprisingly starchy tug, he was free. "All right, kids, here we go," Ban said, kicking in their small EVA module. The thrust wrenched him forward, but with the tether hooked to his hip, he rolled left. Shaggoth's ship loomed large before him, the gray hull blending into the black. Then, without warning, it started to slide away. Once clear, the old grub ship turned, and with greenish-blue plumes filling its drive bells, accelerated down and away from them. "Shaggoth is leaving," Alexander announced. "What?" Ben gasped. Alexander grabbed the tether and pulled himself around until they were all facing the same direction. Then they watched the ship simply slide off into the seemingly endless expanse of stars. "Wow, no good